This is the Motion Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. If you'd like more information about Motion Church, you can always visit our website at motionchurch.com. If you'd like to contribute to what God is doing here at Motion, you can do that at motionchurch.com/give. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
All right, what's up, everybody? Hey, that may be the best response you guys have ever given. That was impressive. It's good. It's love. That's love, right? Maybe this love talk is actually taken. Like, it's actually working a little bit. I wish I could get it to work with my kids, you know? Like, if things were that effective, some of them are, some of them are not, right? Some listen, some do not. So anyway, we've been in a series of talks, a collection of talks, if you will. It's a clever way of saying a series. On love, because, you know, it's February. Obviously, it's the month of love. We even had power couples the weekend before last, just celebrating love, right? All of these good things. But what's so important about this to me is that it's not just like dating relationships and marriages. We need love in all of our relationships, right? We need love in our friendships. We need love with our children. We need love with our parents. Like, if you're an adult, it seems like the relationship with your parents becomes more difficult in different ways. Does anybody? Because I'm a grown butt man. You ain't gonna talk to me, right? I'm just kidding. But, you know, your mama always thinks she's your mama, and she can talk to you however she wants. So there needs to be love in those relationships. The idea here is love is tough, right? Relationships are difficult. Everyone, obviously, being different and unique, has its own difficulties, but we need tough love. We need love that is resilient, love that doesn't quit, love that doesn't throw in the towel, love that doesn't give up when things get difficult, because there's about enough of that, right? Like, it's so easy. We've made it so easy in our culture just to, as soon as things get challenging, we block you, we unfollow you, we ghost you, we stiff arm you. That's a fun way to do it, right? So we just immediately, we don't want tough love. We want love that's easy, but love that is easy is not love at all, in my opinion, right? And so where we've arrived at this place because we think that love is a feeling, and we're like, well, if I don't feel the way that I felt, then I don't love you. And we learn with maturity that love is not a feeling, that love is a choice, love is a commitment, right? All of these things that we kind of know intuitively, but we don't allow to play out in our lives. So anyway, a long setup. So we've been talking about some things that we can do to develop love that is tough, love that is resilient. The first week we talked about how we should honor one another in our relationships, because there's not a lot of honor in relationships these days. I thought that would be a really good chance for people to be like, that's right, Pastor. Like, you just feel the weight of it, right? So there's just not a lot of honor in relationships. There's a tremendous amount of dishonor. Like, and what's so frustrating about this is, like, when you see people, for example, you see married couples who talk to each other like they're dogs, and I'm just like, what are we doing here? Like, that's not the goal of this relationship. The goal of a marriage is not to make it 50 or 60 years without killing each other. The goal of a marriage is to make it 50 or 60 years and love each other, and actually the love would grow as time goes on because of the things that you've gone through together, and you've honored each other through those things, and now you have a greater relationship than you did when you didn't have anything, you didn't have any sense, and you didn't know any better, right? So the goal here is to honor each other, and we talked about honor as adding value. It's seeing the value that something has and honoring that, right? And so the value that we have, based on what God's word says, you're kind of invaluable, right? Your value, again, value is the price which is willing to be paid, the price which somebody is willing to pay for a specific thing, item, or whatever. According to Scripture, like, your life was purchased with the blood of Jesus, right, which is irreplaceable. You cannot put a number of value. It's incalculable, which is a cool word to say, right? And so let's honor each other as such. Let's treat each other like we have this tremendous innate value based on the fact that we are God's creation, that God loves us, therefore we should honor and love each other. And then last week we talked about how love is patient. Woo! And I told you guys, like, when I'm on 10, my patience is thin. And what happens is, like, when the emotion is involved, like, because we're emotional people, right? That's just, God created us with that. Imagine life without emotion. It's like kind of the black and white before Technicolor, right? Before there was flavor, before you could see things in full. Like, emotion makes life so much more meaningful, and it, obviously it adds so much more, you know, pizzazz to our lives and our relationships, but it's also something to be navigated. It's something to understand. Hey, there are decisions that do not need to be made when emotion is at a high. We were at a conference this week, and one of the things that Shelley took away from it, I don't know how it came up, But basically, you don't need to have that conversation with somebody if your blood pressure, if your heart rate is above 95. Is that correct? And I was like, what do I do? That means I can never talk to anybody because my heart rate is always high. Maybe not that high. And it's funny because we checked it, like when we were talking about it, it was like 91, 92. I was like, I guess we can have it. But when we start having it, it's going to be above 95, so we're going to have to stop having that conversation. And so last week we talked about how love is patient. Shelly came up and helped us. And so Shelly is probably the most patient person in the world because she puts up with me all the time. And that's a lot. That's a whole lot. And so this week we're going to look at another aspect of tough love. And this thing that I think that we can do, that we should do, that we are called to do as it relates to love is the title for the message today. And that is that love speaks. Love speaks. And I'll break this down. I'll make this make sense, I hope. So the greatest example of this, in terms of making love that is resilient, that is tough, that doesn't give in, that doesn't give up, that doesn't quit on each other, I think we have to communicate that love to each other. And the best example of this in my mind is the relationship that Jesus had with his disciples and a conversation that he had with them. What's so cool, if you read through the Gospels, like Jesus, he was just obviously, don't take this the wrong way, right? I'm not trying to diminish that Jesus is the Son of God, but Jesus was a dude, right? And he was hanging out with his friends who just happened to be dudes, right? And they're hanging out, and he's having these conversations, which just so happened to be some of the most meaningful and important conversations in all of history, but he's just building and doing life with his friends, right? And building relationships with his friends, and he's communicating, and he's discipling them through their relationships. And so one of the conversations that he's having with the disciples is John chapter 15, verses 12 and 13. And it says this, we've talked about this before. It says, this is my commandment, not suggestion, not something that you should strongly consider, right? But this is my commandment. Do we know what a commandment is anymore? I mean, we don't, like most of us we don't like authority and we don't like people telling us what to do. But here's the deal. Like when it comes to our relationship with God, he is creator. We are created. He is God. We are not. This is what he tells us to do. Therefore, this is what we should aspire to do. Everybody clear on what a commandment is? I feel like we kind of lost that in our world. All right, anyway, this is my commandment, that you love one another. And here's what's so cool about, let's just kind of clear the air as far as all of that. We don't like commandments, but here's the thing. Everything that God has asked us to do, there's generally a really good reason why and a benefit in it for us. So God doesn't ask us to do things that aren't important. He doesn't ask us to do things that don't have some kind of payoff down the road, either for others or for us, or usually both. So he asks us to do things that are good, not just for others, but also for us and vice versa, right? So this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. So when he's telling them, he's having this conversation with them, he's like, hey, just like I have loved you, go and love one another, which is kind of another way of saying, hey guys, just so you know, just so it's clear, just so everyone is on the same page, I love you guys. Can you just imagine the weight of that moment that Jesus, the Son of God, is sitting around a campfire, maybe, I don't know, with a bunch of his friends, and he's like, hey guys, I just want you to know, listen to me clearly, because you're going to have things happen in your life that make you feel unloved. And I want you to know, I want you to look back on this moment and know that I love you. And if Jesus was taking time to let his friends know, verbally communicating that he loves them, the expectation then is for us to do the same. So love speaks, right? So let me finish the verse. I'm so bad about starting verses, and then I'll stop the verse and start. And people in the back, they're like, bro, stick to the script. And I'm like, I can't. So this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that a person will lay down his life for his friends. So and this is John chapter 15. John chapter 15 uses the word love 10 times. John chapter 14 uses the word love 9 times. So in these two chapters, the word love is used 19 times. It's almost as if Jesus wants us to understand what love is, right? And he's speaking about it so that we can understand it. So let's kind of cruise through this. Let's talk about when you read a passage like that, there are some things that you have to understand, and I think ultimately there are some things you have to do with the things that you understand, right? Because to understand it is not enough. You got to actually implement the stuff that you understand into your life. So the first point here is called love accepted. Love accepted. When you read a passage like that where Jesus, first he tells them that he loves them, which consequently or subsequently would mean that he loves us as well, right? We are his followers, his disciples, his children, so he loves us. And not only does he say that he loves them, then he tells them what the greatest expression of love in the entire world is, and then he goes and does that thing that he says is the greatest expression of love in the entire world. So when you read something like that, to me, that requires a response from you. That requires, so Jesus is saying, I love you, I'm going to prove that I love you by the things that I'm about to do, and then I go and do the things, because that's a rarity where people actually go and do the things that they said. I mean, that's love, isn't it? Like people actually following through with what they said there. Anyway, we're not going to get on that. Y'all going to get my blood pressure up above 95, and we can't have this conversation, right? So he says he loves them. He tells them what love is and the greatest expression of love is, and then he goes and does that thing. That requires from us a response, and I think the first response is simply to accept that as the gift that it is, right? And you know what is tough for a lot of people? I think it's hard for a lot of people to accept God's love. I think it's hard for a lot of people to accept the idea that God loves them in spite of them, that God loves them not based on merit or anything that they've done or in spite of the things that they've done, that God loves them anyway. It's a gift that has to be accepted. There's really only two options at this point. Initially, you either accept the gift or you reject the gift. Like it's a gift. If somebody's giving you the gift, you do one of two things with that gift. I guess the third option would be to re-gift, but that's another. I mean, you could take this and re-gift it too. That's kind of actually the idea. But as far as this gift of God's love for you, for me, we either accept it or we reject it. I think a lot of people find it hard to accept because most of us don't feel like we're worthy. You're not. We're not. It's a gift, right? It's not a paycheck. It's not compensation for something that you've done. You don't earn it. It's a gift that was given to you. Some of us feel like we can't accept the gift because we couldn't possibly repay it. You can't, right? It's a gift that's of such extreme value that you could never in 100 lifetimes repay it. That's what makes it a gift, right? It's not a loan. It's a gift that he gives to you and to me. And our choice here is to either accept the gift or to reject the gift. And the reason this is so important, I mean, obviously a lot of reasons, like that's where your relationship with Jesus begins, right? If you accept the gift of God's love, you understand the demonstration of love that Jesus demonstrated for us while we were still sinners. Jesus died on the cross for our sins, right? Romans chapter 5. We understand that gift, we accept that gift, and that is the beginning of your relationship with God. So that's where it starts, but this is so important because that is only the beginning, right? So obviously, especially go read John chapter 13, John chapter 14, John chapter 15, and then you start to see kind of some of the expressions of that. Like, because you love me, then you will do the things that I ask you to do, right? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Not suggestions, not strongly, you know, considered options here, but my commandments. And so anyway, but it has to start with accepting the gift of God's love, which again, I understand for some people, that's a tough thing to do. But this is important because once we do that, then this love that we've accepted helps us to go and distribute the love that we have. So it's love accepted, and then it turns into love distributed. So for some people, it's tough to accept God's love. For others, it's hard to express God's love. And here's what's kind of interesting. I'm sure personality is a factor in this. I'm sure the environment you were raised in. So it seems like, and this is, I'm stereotyping, I'm generalizing here, but based on what I've seen and understood and read in all of the research that I've sort of put in, it seems like there was a generation, like go back to the 1930s, 1940s, very more stoic, right? Less willing to communicate and express the love that they had for their children, their family, their friends, etc. It seems like we've gotten a little bit better generationally at saying, hey, it's okay to say to your children, I love you and I'm proud of you. I know grown men who've heard their father tell them that they love them like once or twice in their life. And I'm like, I tell my kids that once or twice an hour, generally, right? So I do think that we've gotten better about this, but I think that we have to just, again, be intentional. We have to understand the weight and the ramifications of being willing to speak love. Because when you speak love, what are you doing? You're speaking life. When you speak love, you're just sharing with others what God has done in you and for you. So it kind of comes back to our first idea. Once we've accepted that God loves us, once we've accepted the love that God has for us, that starts to spill over into other relationships. You just cannot help but for the love of God that's in you to spill over if the love of God is in you. Now, I have met people who have been in church for 60 years who have nothing nice to say. And it just, I mean, and I'm not trying to be, it's not my place to judge, but I can make an observation. And it just seems to me like it would be really hard for me to understand how the love of God is in you to such a degree that it's spilling over in your relationships when you ain't got nothing nice to say to anyone ever. And I just kind of, anyway, I better get off of it. Check my heart rate. Okay. So what should happen is what is inside ultimately should get outside. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, it says this: "For the mouth speaks from that which fills the heart." Another version says, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." It's like a cup, right, that starts to overflow. And because the love of God is filling our cup and it starts to overflow, then it should be overflowing into the relationships in our life, our obviously closest relationships. But there should be enough that we could share it with some other people as well. It doesn't have to just be your four and no more. You can also be nice to people that you just met. You can also be nice to people who are rude and make mistakes. You can also be nice to servers at restaurants. You can also be nice. And can I be honest? Can we talk about this for just a minute? Just a minute. Can I get this up? Hang on. Okay, we're good. So sometimes you go through a drive-thru. And I don't know if it's a job like prerequisite or qualification that you got to be the rudest person on the face of the earth. And also not be able to communicate clearly such that I can't understand what you were saying to me. Or if it's just the technology is so bad, even though we can put people on the moon, but I can't talk to you, you can't talk to me without. But you know what? I should still be able to, out of the love, because, I mean, come on, man. Look at the way that God has loved me in spite of all the things that I've done. The fact that God has loved me and he knows me. Like, he knows me. That's not a good, he knows me and he still loves me. So I can, out of the abundance of that, I can still express and share love to people that maybe I don't feel like it, right? But again, what is love? It's not a feeling, is it? It's a commitment. It's a commitment to, hey, I am filled with the love of God and my commitment is to express that to the best of my ability, not perfectly all of the time and not get it right all of the time. But generally speaking, that is my goal, is to express the love of God to the people that are around me. So I don't think this is necessarily an easy thing, but I do think we overcomplicate something that is pretty straightforward and simple. Right? If you reduce this down kind of to the most obvious takeaway, it would be that our mouths should express the love that we have in our hearts. Our mouths should express the love that we have in our hearts. It's kind of like we say with gratitude. I think I made this up. I probably didn't. I probably stole it from somebody else, but you guys know how this works. When you say something, when you quote somebody or a phrase or a statistic or anything, you say, you give them credit, right? We're like, so-and-so says, and you say what needs to be said. The second time, you say, people say, you kind of make it more generally, like I've heard it said, and then the third time you say, like I always say. So like I always say, with gratitude, for example, unexpressed gratitude is not gratitude. Like, I don't really care how thankful you are in your heart if you don't communicate how thankful you are in your heart. Because gratitude isn't to make you feel better. Gratitude is to make the person that you're thankful for feel better, right? So the idea here is that it's got to get out. What's inside has to get out, and it's the same thing with love. I believe that we have a God-given obligation to speak words of love into the relationship in our lives. Now, doesn't have to be cheesy, because there's enough of that, right? Like pickup lines, for example. It's not good. There's some cheesy ones. Like, did it hurt? Yeah, it hurt. Stop thinking about me, right? I don't know. So it doesn't have to be cheesy. It doesn't have to be gushy or effusive or just weird. I think expressing love and communicating love and speaking love, first and foremost, just needs to be genuine, right? It needs to be you expressing how you really feel to the person that you're talking to. And if you can't find anything good to say, I mean, mama was probably right, but if you can't find anything good to say, then maybe you have a heart problem. If you can't find anything nice to say about them or to them or anything loving to say to them, then it seems to me that out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth is speaking and what's coming out ain't right. So it may be a heart issue that you need to work through. It needs to be genuine. We'll talk about that more in a minute. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. It says this. And this is one of those, this is one of my favorite passages because it's kind of weird. And it gets you like a free pass to be an oddball, which I like. I embrace that. It's kind of quirky. Anyway, it says this. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but I like to sing. I'm not any good at it. But I get a pass from God's word to be a bad singer. It says, speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing. Now, one thing to notice here, you see the connection between your mouth, speaking to one another in psalms, and then at the end of it, making melody in your heart to the Lord. There is a connection. There is like a direct channel between your heart and your mouth. And so what I wanted us to take away from this is maybe you don't know how to speak love to somebody. Maybe it just doesn't feel natural. If you're curious maybe how you could start, maybe, I don't know, start speaking to one another in psalms, speaking to one another in God's word. If you don't know what to say, see what God's word says about them and start speaking that. Oh, this is my charismatic side, my Baptist side over here. It's okay. So I think that's a terrific place to start. And if you don't know what God's word is, dive in and see what it says about other people. Like, instead of doing like the cheesy Tony Robbins, like, you got this, you're going to make it through. Like, maybe hit them with like, hey, you're going to get through this because the God who gave up his own son, willingly gave up his own son, he's going to get you through this. The God who said that you are more than a conqueror, that you are an overcomer, who is with you, who's like, whether the water is rising or the floods are coming and the fire's coming, that he is there. That's the things that we can speak over each other and to each other and encourage each other with. So, speak to one another in psalms and hymns, and also sing to each other, because that's, but not weird. Don't be weird. Let's not make this weird. So that's the love accepted, love distributed. Let's talk just really quickly about two things that I think we can do that'll help us apply this and implement this to the best of our ability. The first one is this: love speaks truth. Love speaks truth. Obviously, we're supposed to speak love, but that doesn't necessarily mean what I think a lot of people want that to mean. I don't think that means what a lot of people think that means. That's not the way this works. That's not how any of this works, right? When we love and we speak love, that also means a willingness to speak truth. Now, there's two things about this that I think that apply to what it is that we're talking about. And the first one, kind of as we were talking about earlier, like, be truthful, be genuine. Be who you are, who God made you to be, and then find a way to communicate love in it, kind of within those parameters, in that framework that God has given you. Like, don't be weird about it. Like, have you ever had an obviously very disingenuous compliment? Let's not do that, right? Let's find things about them that we genuinely love and appreciate and communicate those things. And that means you would actually have to take the time to find things about them that you love and appreciate so that you can then express that love to them. Let me make this real simple and real clear. Don't gas people up. Y'all know what gassing people up is, right? Okay, because when you're gassy, ain't nobody good. Nobody wins when you get. Don't gas people up. Like, just be truthful. And I think women do such a better job at this than men. Like, I'm with Shelly, and we're walking, and she sees somebody that she's never met. She's like, oh, my God, I love your shoes. And the lady's like, I know, right? Right? And they just have this moment, and everybody feels better. Now, it can be more meaningful than that. It doesn't have to be materialistic, but it can be other things that you like about them, that you love about them. Just communicate it. Who cares if you look like a fruitcake, right? Are you really that concerned with impressing people that you aren't willing to do the things that God has asked you to do in speaking love? Because you kind of, again, let's talk about options. You can please God or you can please man. I'm leaning towards pleasing God. So if you think I'm a weirdo, I'm cool with that. I tell grown butt men that I love them on the regular. And it's weird sometimes because some of them are just like, and they usually walk away. And just to make sure that I know that they heard what I said as they're walking away, leaving the gym in front of God and everybody, sweaty and that, I'm like, hey, bro, I love you. Maybe not quite that much, but I will. I will tell you that I love you in front. And what do I care? Like, what does it hurt me at all if you think I'm a strange person when I'm trying to express and communicate and speak love? So anyway, if I haven't told you lately, I love you. Thank you. See, this is good. This is good. So that's one part. Just be genuine, right? Be genuine. And if you don't love people, it's a heart issue, and you need to check that. Like, you need to allow God to do a work in your heart so that you can do this genuinely. So that's the first aspect of it. But the other aspect of speaking the truth in love is that we also need to be willing to correct when things aren't right. Now, this is relationship specific. That doesn't mean that you get to stand up in front of everyone on your soapbox and tell everybody how wrong they are. Instead, based on the strength of the relationship, you have a willingness, because you love them, to tell them when they're doing something that they shouldn't do. And we think correction is always wrong, like correction is bad, like correction is not a good thing. Correction only takes place because they love you. Like, we only correct, like, I don't correct. Now, there are some people who correct complete strangers. Nobody likes you. And let me just give you one quick example, and I promise I won't talk about the gym the rest of the time, okay, because I don't go enough as it is. So my least favorite gym people are the people who try to correct other people on how to do a particular exercise, or correct your form, or this is the one that gets me. Like, you know, like they'll correct the way you're doing a particular exercise, or correct your form, or they're just, hey, can I show you something? No, you can't. And you know what I've also noticed about this? The people who are trying to correct you, they need to go figure some things out on their own, frankly, because I'm like, don't come correcting me when you weigh 135 pounds soaking wet, cuz. Not that there's anything wrong with being 135 pounds. My bad. Don't take it so personally. Okay. So we have to be willing to correct. Can you imagine, just imagine, like, if you're a parent in the room, we get this. Like, we understand this. Sometimes the things that I say to my kids probably don't feel very loving to them. But I'm not saying them because I don't love them. I'm saying them because I do love them. If I didn't love them, I would let them go on acting like terrorists. But I do love them, and I don't want them to be terrorists, and I don't want them to end up on the FBI watch list, and I want them to be productive members of society, and I want them to be people who love God and make a difference in the world, and I want them to be people who do something meaningful and significant with their life. Therefore, I correct them. And some of them just need a little more correction than others, but I correct them. And it doesn't matter how they feel about it. It doesn't matter to me that they don't like it. I do what I know that I'm called to do, my responsibility as a person who loves them and a parent who is responsible for rearing them. Then I will say things that they don't like because I love them. Imagine that your child is running through the house with scissors, which is the first problem. Probably not the best situation, but you know what? Natural consequences are a real thing. I believe in natural consequences. Now, let's say it's not scissors. Let's just say it's some metal object, a paperclip, okay? And let's say they're running towards the socket. We all know this analogy, right? They're running to the, because who doesn't want to put something in a light socket? It is so inviting. It's just this, like, mysterious hole in the wall, and there's got to be something incredible on the other side, and it's like a keyhole, and I'm fixing to stick something in that thing and find out what's on the other. You're going to find out. But you ain't going to find out what's on the other side. You're going to find out what's on the inside of you. Right? So let's say your child is on their way to stick something in that socket. You just watch them do it. Right? Do we just, they'll figure it out. I mean, they might figure out the way to Jesus. So we correct them. No! Stop! And for those of y'all, not y'all, there's like the famous TikTok people and Facebook parenting people, and they just tell you not to yell. If you can do that, God bless you. That's not me, right? I try to be selective when the voice is elevated, but sometimes the voice just needs to get elevated. Like, and I don't know what your kids may be, saints and angels and all that good stuff. Mine ain't. And as a matter of fact, I'll tell this. Where's Tavian? Tavian's in the back. He's got headphones on. He's good. Like, Tavian, I love my son more than anything in the world, but Tavian only responds to violence. That's all he responds to. Loud voices and violence. And he's a saint when he, okay, anyway, too much information. So we correct them. Why? Because we love them. So we're willing to speak truth to them regardless of how it makes them feel. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. Obviously, the goal of speaking the truth is what? We love them. We're concerned about their growth and their future. Ephesians chapter 4, 14 and 15, it says this. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of people, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, that is Christ. So the goal is maturity, right? The goal is growth. Like it talks about, hey, we're not children any longer. We're growing up, and we're going to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, Christ. And so in order for us to grow, we have to be willing to receive truth when truth is spoken to us. We have to be willing to share and speak truth when the time comes for us to do that. So we have to speak the truth in love. So love speaks truth. Last point is this. Love speaks on time. There is a right way to say everything. I think we know that. It's not what you say sometimes, but how you say what you say. But there's also a right time to say the things that you say. In fact, we all know this as far as, you know, you hear about comic timing all of the time. All of the time, because it's timing. Okay. So comic timing, they say, is everything, right? And you'll see, like, a good comedian, man, they build and they build and they build, and they've kind of got people like, what's he going to do? What's he going to say, right? And they wait for just the perfect moment, and they deliver the punchline, and everybody loses it, all because of timing. They talk about, I watch these guys who are like such polished pontificators, these great speakers and communicators. Do you ever watch and just are amazed at somebody's ability to string together sentences? And it's just like, how in the world do you do that? And I'm like, I can't even say a word, say a sentence without using the word like or. I'm trying to put together a sentence without saying the word like, and I can't. So anyway, so it's just amazing. And one of the things that they talk about with great communicators, as far as great communicators, as far as words, is how communicators, the ones who are very effective, they use pauses. Now, I suck at using pauses because I just feel like I got so much I need to say in such a short amount of time. So I'm just like, and the joke is, my mom was born in Chicago, so apparently you talk fast if that's how that. I guess you've got some Yankee in you, and I am not. I'm from Texas. But I'm like a Texified Yankee, and I don't know how the world you do that. So I talk fast, and I don't use pauses, but they talk about how the pause builds tension, right? And everybody feels the weight of the conversation. And they're just anticipating what you're going to say next. Just, that feels so disingenuous, right? That didn't feel like love. You know what feels like love? Let me check my heartbeat and tell you what's, okay. So I think one of the crucial things to understand is timing. Like, there is a perfect time to say everything. And so let's talk about how we can use our words at the right time to encourage and strengthen others when they need it the most. Now, the first thing that when you say something like this, that love speaks, I think one of the things that people would push back, one of the things that I would probably push back if I heard that statement is that, well, actions speak louder than words, right? And I agree with that statement, but I also think that speaking is an action. It may be the first action that you need to take, right? Because a lot of people would do, it's not an and or proposition. It's probably a both. It's like, definitely go and do things to show that you love, but you can also express it simultaneously. So go and share love, but also go and speak love. So let's talk about how powerful this is, because I think we underestimate the timing aspect of the words at the right time. Proverbs chapter 25, verses 11 and 12, it says this. And this is so rich because I have no idea what it means. It says, like apples of gold in settings of silver. Anybody else lost? Right? Like apples of gold in settings of silver is a word spoken at the proper time. Like an earring of gold and a jewelry piece of fine gold is a wise person who offers rebuke to a listening ear. So I actually did study this, and they don't know any more than I do. Like, they're like, the way you translate this, we're not certain. So basically, they've come to two conclusions. One, so an apple is kind of this goldish looking. Some of them are goldish looking fruit, right? So then you would put it on a silver plate, and they're like, how what a presentation that would be if somebody walked in and you're so hungry. Have you guys been into like a juicy apple? Just so good. And so somebody brings in this juicy apple, and it's kind of a goldish color, and it's on a silver platter, and they bring it in. It's just like, oh, that's what a great thing. But they think most likely the way that this actually translates out is kind of more in art. It's kind of, again, you see gold, and it's accentuated with silver, and it's this column, and you see these plates with apples on them, and it's all carved out, and it's very opulent, and it's just one of these beautiful artistic expressions. And I think what we're trying to communicate here is that when you say the right thing to somebody at the right time, what a beautiful thing. What a majestic thing to behold when you say the right thing to someone at the right time. And then the second part of that, a wise person who offers rebukes to a listening ear is like an earring of gold and a jewelry piece of gold. Who doesn't like gold, right? I don't know if you've seen the price of gold lately. There's another correlation in that. This is tremendously valuable when we're willing to speak love because love speaks. And I think the key to this is willingness and discernment. Like you got to be willing to do it, but then you also have to know, you have to know enough about them to know what's going on in their life. And then you have to have the common sense to know when to say what. Like, for example, and this is one of the most difficult things when somebody is experiencing loss. Let's say somebody just lost somebody in their family, somebody close to them. Probably don't say a whole lot. Your words are not that important. My words are not that important. Like, our presence is more important than any word that we could possibly say. So don't try to find the perfect words to say somebody who's going through that. Do you guys understand? Because everybody's like, it'll be okay. Really? I mean, yes, it probably will, but definitely not the time to have that conversation. So it's willingness and discernment. You have to be willing to be bold and say the things that may not be comfortable to you or to them, but it's a willingness to do that because, why? You love them, and you also have to care enough about them to be willing to lean into their lives so that you can, at least to some degree, understand what they're going through. Like again, that would be the genuine nature of it. If I know you well enough to know, at least to some degree, what you're going through, I may not understand. I may not be able to fully identify, but I understand it's a problem for you, therefore it's a problem for me. I understand that it's a struggle for you, therefore it's a struggle for me. I mourn with those who mourn, and I rejoice with those who rejoice. And so we're able to share in that moment. And if I say the right thing at the right time, it's like apples of gold in settings of silver. Telling someone that you love them when they don't believe in themselves. Telling someone that you believe them when they don't believe in themselves. Telling someone that you're proud of them when they're feeling or they're walking through a season of shame and doubt. Telling someone that you're with them when they feel lonely and isolated. These are perfect examples of timing, saying the right thing. Because again, even as well as you may know somebody, you may not know what they're going through. Because I don't know if you guys know this or not, but we kind of tend to hide and hide behind walls and facades, and we keep things to ourselves and we don't share some of the things that we should share. And so there's power in saying the right words at the right time. Telling somebody that you're proud of them when they're struggling with shame, that's love. Telling someone that you believe in them when they don't believe in themselves, that's love. That is speaking love. Telling someone that you love them when they're finding it difficult to love themselves, that is speaking love. And when we do this, I believe this is one of the most Christ-like things that we can do. So Jesus, going back to our story where we started here, right? Jesus is, let's set up maybe a fake scenario, but it's a solid one, right? He's sitting around a campfire. He's having a conversation with all of his disciples. And he's like, hey, I want you guys to know, just remember, I love you. And because I love you, go and love each other. This is the greatest expression of love. This is what he says in John chapter 13. This is how other people are going to know that you love me, by your love for each other. So it's one of the most Christ-like things that we can do, to speak love. Jesus was willing to do this with the people that were close to him, but he obviously demonstrated it to everyone around him. He was a lover of people who were unlovable. He was a defender of people who were weak and downtrodden and down and out. And he has a deep compassion for those who other people count out. So let's go and speak love. Don't look for a cop-out. Don't look for an excuse, or don't think this is one of those, this is what we do when we're in church. This, you hear that? This is for you, right? When in reality, it's for all of us. I tell people all the time, because sometimes, on occasion, somebody will come up and be like, Pastor, that message was so good. I'm like, I'm glad you enjoyed it. It was for me. Right? Okay, Shelly got it. Nobody else did. Right? I'm glad that you enjoyed that message. It's been miserable for me, because this is what God has been working on me, and I just want to share my suffering with you, right? So the message is never for the person next to you. The message is always for you, for me, right? It's for us individually. So even if you do a good job of this, man, go. There is so much room for more. There's always going to be room for more love, especially in the words that we speak, because I don't know if you noticed this or not, but there's a lot of people
who don't speak loving words. And there seems to be just this just kind of, you know, distribution of vitriol and hate. And people are just saying any type of thing to anybody, generally behind the safety of their keyboard in their mama's basement, because they ain't doing nothing with their lives. But let's be countercultural, right? And regardless of what culture is, we just want to stand for truth, and we want to stand for God, and we want to honor Him, and we want to represent Him well. So let's go speak love. Amen. Let me pray for us. Jesus, thank you so much for taking the time to declare love to your people. God, not just in word, which is so important, but obviously, God, in action and demonstration, that you showed us what love is. God, you are the ultimate template by which we can build and live our lives. And I believe that one thing that you did really, really well, God, was you used your words to speak truth, to speak love, to encourage, to build up, to correct, rebuke. God, all of the things that are necessary for us to grow. God, help us to go and do the same. Help us, God, to choose to speak love. In Jesus' name, amen.